I invite you to open up your copy of God's Word to Judges chapter 8, the end of chapter 8, and we'll be moving into chapter 9. We will be making our way all the way through Judges chapter 9 this evening. It's quite a lengthy passage. We'll do something a little bit different as we move along. But as Josh was praying, I was reminded, and as I thought this week, about what's going on in Afghanistan. It's hit me pretty hard. Not that I'm a veteran of the Afghan conflict or war there, but I have many friends who have, and I have fought in the global war on terrorism. But many of Americans and allies are in harm's way even this night. And almost 20 years ago, I made a pledge to defend the Constitution and protect the people of this country. And some of me wants to get up and go and help and fight, do my part. It really amazes me what people are willing to do based on where their allegiance lies. It could cause them to take a path of heroicism, stand in harm's way for others, cause others to stand up for Jesus Christ in the midst of persecution, like some of our brothers and sisters in Christ are doing even now in Afghanistan and around the world. But it's equally amazing how much destruction can take place when those who are so bent on and have their allegiance and passions for evil in this world, what they can do because of sin, militant Islam, historic atrocities of the Communist Party. See, when sin reigns in the hearts of people or persons, devastation often follows. And the results are staggering. People of God, the battle is raging. We're in this cosmic battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The battle with the people of God and this and that of this world. The world is not amoral. It hates the truth. It hates the godly. And in this account we study tonight, we will see the results of the devastation of those who align themselves, who give their allegiance to evil. Abimelech, he's the illegitimate son of Gideon, and he brings Israel into rebellion. He wasn't a judge. He wasn't a deliverer. In fact, he was the very opposite. Many have called him the anti-judge. And it's through the outworking of his heart and the people of God's heart that this destruction came on the land. You see, they forgot God. They forgot what the Lord had done for them. The people wanted a king, but they didn't want the Lord as king. They wanted to be ruled by something else. They dethroned the Lord, and here they replaced him with Abimelech. So why these 57 plus verses we'll be reading tonight? So I hope through this passage tonight, you will see in vivid picture the results of spiritual rebellion and decline. When you replace your allegiance to Christ with anything else, destruction follows. That's where sin leads. It leads to destruction. And whether it's Abimelech or Baal or power or influence or pleasure, they all have the same root: rebellion against God. The prince of the power of the air, Satan, is at work to destroy the church and subvert its mission. He is working to secure your allegiance and ultimately destroy you. So the question before us this evening: where does your allegiance lie? Who's ruling over your life? Is it sin and your own desires? Do you serve yourself? Or do you serve the living God and give full allegiance to him. So due to the length of this passage, we're going to go through little section by little section. First, we're going to start out in chapter 8, verse 33 through 35 to give us a little context. And in this part of the passage, allegiance to Christ requires remembering. It requires that you who are in Christ to remember what he has done for you. This is God's word. As soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. And they did not show steadfast love to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, in return for all the good that he had done. See, after the death of Gideon, the people of the Lord turned from him. They forgot what he had done. They forgot what Gideon had done. Really, they forgot what the Lord did through Gideon. And they set up this false worship, the syncretist worship, Baal Berith, Lord of the Covenant. Most commentators believe this is a mixing between Baal worship and following after the Lord God. What does it mean to forget? What it means to forget is forgetting that the Lord rules over you, that he is the one in whom you are to please. And you and I can be like Adam and Eve. We forget God because we want to be gods of our own. We want to make decisions based on what we want. And like a vacuum, when you don't worship the Lord, you don't remember what the Lord has done, something or someone will fill the void. So people of God, don't forget the mighty work that God has done in your life. How he's brought you from darkness into light. He's taking you from that kingdom of Satan, sin and death, and into the kingdom and the family of God. And this can happen in your hearts, in your families, and in our church. And that brings us into the context we are tonight in chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Allegiance to Christ requires wisdom. Don't be naive. Don't believe false promises. This is God's word again. Now Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's relatives and said to them, and to the whole clan of his mother's family, saying in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal rule over you, or that one rule over you? Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech. For they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal Berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows who followed him. And he went to his father's house at Ophrah, and he killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the leaders of Shechem came together, and at Beth Millo, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar at Shechem. So said, when the Lord is not ruling over you, a void is left, and that void will be filled by someone or someone else. And so here Abimelech, to ensure his reign, to make himself front runner in leading Israel, he convinces his mother to go put a bug in the ears of his uncles. Hey, wouldn't it be better if just one of Gideon's sons rules over you? And he relies on the family loyalties, convincing them to be ruled by him. I'm your relative, after all. I'll provide you peace and security that the other sons of Jerubbaal can't give you. And this plan worked to perfection. The leaders of Shechem were naive. Verse 3 tells us that their hearts were turned toward Abimelech. Bible uses this hearts being turned as turning their wills, their passions toward something, whether it be to God or something else. And here their hearts were turned towards Abimelech, this evil man. And the leaders of Shechem, not only did they say they would help Abimelech, they put their money where their mouth was. They financed with their monies from that pagan temple to give Abimelech power, soul power over the kingdom. One piece of silver for each of his brothers. Then he goes down to the local tavern and hires some of the roughest guys around to help murder his brothers. It's utterly gruesome. It's hard for us to imagine how gruesome and evil this man was. Let's look at verse 5 again. He went to his father's house at Ophrah, and he killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. Get the picture here? He gathers all of Gideon's sons and he lines them up, one after the other. One after the other. Blood shed. Disgusting. What an evil man. These leaders of Shechem were naive. They weren't wise to the ways of Abimelech. See, Satan and sin, they're a tyrant. They demand total control. I spent a little bit of time policing. As I dealt with people that had addiction to drugs and alcohol, you saw the destructive nature of these sins. How they destroyed people's lives. They took control over them. And when controlled by sin, people often do awful things. And this can happen even in the church. We're not immune to this. When we give ourselves over to sin, sin promises freedom. But like I said, much like what Satan tempted Adam, how he tempted Adam and Eve. Eat the fruit, you'll be free from God. In fact, you'll be just like him. You'll determine right and wrong. You can do what you want. You don't have any constraints. But this promise is a ruse. It's a hoax. It's a scam. There will only be one master in your heart. Your allegiances can only be in one place. You can't serve both God and this world. We can think that things are neutral, of no spiritual consequence in our lives. But let me ask you, do you think that the movies you're watching, the advertisements you see, the things you're putting your mind to in this world are neutral? They're trying to gain your heart. They want your heart. There is no neutrality. And in this world, it requires wisdom to see sin for what it is. As Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. For you either hate one and love the other, you're all devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or things or pleasure. But here in this passage, the Lord is gracious. So allegiance to Christ requires listening, not neglecting the warnings of the Lord, listening to God's word. Here in chapter 9, verse 7 through 21, the last remaining son of Gideon, Jotham, gives a warning to the people of God. So hear now that warning. When it was told to Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and cried aloud and said, "Listen to me, you leaders of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees once went out to appoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my abundance by which gods and men are honored and go sway over the trees?' And the tree said to the fig tree, 'Come reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go hold sway over the trees?' And the tree said to the vine, 'Come reign over us.' But the vine said to them, Shall I leave my wine that cheers God and men and go hold sway over the trees? Then all the trees said to the bramble, you come reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if in good faith you are anointing me king over you, then come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now, therefore, if you acted in good faith and integrity when you made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house and have done to him as his deeds deserved, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian, and you have risen up against my father's house this day and have killed his sons, 70 men on one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the leaders of Shechem, because he is your relative. If you have acted in good faith and integrity with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice at Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leaders of Shechem and Beth Millo. And let fire come out from the leaders of Shechem and from Beth Millo, and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and lived there because of Abimelech, his brother. It's not the first time we've heard of the Mount Gerizim. If you remember back in Joshua chapter 8, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, they were seen as the mountain of peace and a mountain of curse. And at the end of Joshua's life, the people of God at Mount Gerizim promised that they would serve the Lord, for he is their God. And yet here, the mountain of blessing has become a mountain of cursing. The people of Israel become so wicked that the place in which they pledged their allegiance to God become now a place, a house for the shrines of Baal. Judgment is coming. But the Lord loves his people. And he shows them the consequences of their sin through the prophet Jotham by this parable. Excuse me, this fable. He says, be warned. Repent. Change your ways. Did you notice in verse 7? Listen to me, you leaders of Shechem, so that God may listen to you. Hear the warning. Change, repent. But they wouldn't hear him. They didn't listen. So to this fable, the trees are looking for a king to rule over them. The olive tree, the fig tree, and the vine all refuse the work. They did not want to leave their place of usefulness to rule. Rather than rejecting the idea of a king, the trees turn to a bramble. The bramble is a thorny shrub brush to rule over them. A good for nothing shrub, only to be burned. And near in verse 16, Jotham explains this fable. In their rejection of the Lord, Israel had foolishly turned to the wicked and bloodthirsty Abimelech. Is this really what you want? Do you really want him to rule over you? It's ludicrous. Think about it. It's ludicrous for a tree to look for shade under a thorn bush. And yet, they turn to him. If you pick the wrong leaders, if you pick the thorn bush, if you pick the bramble, the wrong king under the wrong leadership, you will suffer punishment and justice. So hear the word of the Lord today. This is for us as well. Heed the warnings. Following after sin leads to destruction. How many of you stood in a place like this? In the middle of a sanctuary or in a place, meeting place, and you declared your allegiance to Christ, joining in church membership or through baptism, I will follow the Lord. And yet, your life doesn't match your profession of faith. You're living a double life. I'm not saying this to browbeat you, but it's meant to warn you. You're heading down the path that leads to destruction. There is no secret sins in the eyes of God. Sin isn't benign. It's not a benign tumor. It's a cancer. It doesn't stay in one place. It continues to spread until it consumes. So listen to God's word. Heed His warning. There's danger in following the bramble. And now we need to look at this long piece of the passage in verses 22 through 49. Allegiance to Christ requires recognizing the nature of sin. So we're going to read this together. I'm going to read this. It's a long passage. Civil war breaks out, and that peace that Abimelech promised no longer exists. Abimelech ruled over Israel 3 years. And God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the leaders of Shechem. And the leaders of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood may be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brother. And the leaders of Shechem put men in ambush against him on the mountaintops, and they robbed all who passed by them along the way. And it was told to Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, moved into Shechem with his relatives. And the leaders of Shechem put confidence in him. And they went out into the field and gathered the grapes from the vineyard and trod them and held a festival and went into the house of their God and ate and drank and reviled Abimelech. Just a side note here, they got drunk. And then they got courageous. Continue on. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech? And who are we of Shechem that we should serve him? He is not the son of Jerubbaal. Is he not the son of Jerubbaal? And is not Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But why should we serve him? Would that this people were under my hand? Then I would remove Abimelech, and I would say to Abimelech, 'Increase your army and come out.'" Then Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the word of Gaal. And the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled, and he sent messengers to Abimelech secretly, saying, "Behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his relatives have come to Shechem, and they are stirring up the city against you. Now, therefore, go by night, you and the people who are with you, and set ambush in the field. Then in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, rise early and rush upon the city. And when he and the people who are with him come out against you, you may do to them as your hand finds to do." So Abimelech and all the men who were with him rose up by night and set an ambush against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance of the gate of the city. And Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from the ambush. And when Gaal saw the people and said to Zebul, "Look, people are coming down from the mountaintops." And Zebul said to him, You mistake the shadows of the mountain for men." And Gaal spoke again and said, "Look, people are coming down from the center of the land. And one company is coming from the direction of the diviner's oak." Then Zebul said to him, "Where is your mouth now, you who said, 'Who is Abimelech that we should serve him?' Are not these people who you despise? Go out now and fight with them." And Gaal went out at the head of the leaders of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many fell wounded up to the entrance of the gate. And Abimelech lived Ruman, and Zebul drove out Gaal and his relatives so that they could not dwell in Shechem. On the following day, the people went out into the field, and Abimelech was told, He took his people and divided them into three companies and set an ambush in the field. And he looked and saw people coming out of the city. So he rose again and killed them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate, while the two companies rushed up upon all who were in the field and killed them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He captured the city and killed the people who were in it. And he razed the city and sowed it with salt. When all the leaders of the tower of Shechem heard it, they entered the stronghold of the house of El-Berith. And Abimelech was told that all the leaders of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech went up to Mount Zelim. He and all the people were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down the bundle of brushwood. And he took it up and laid it on his shoulder. And he said to the men who were with him, "What you have seen me do, hurry and do as I have done." So every one of the people cut down his bundle and, following Abimelech, put it against the stronghold. And they set the stronghold on fire over them, so that all the people of the tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. A little long. But here, the peace and prosperity that Abimelech promised was not so peaceful. And the Lord sends an evil spirit upon Abimelech and the parties. And civil war begins to break out. Insurrection starts in Shechem. And its new leaders come and they conspire against Abimelech. They went down to the tavern, the temple tavern, got drunk with wine, and planned to overthrow Abimelech. And by the way, a tavern is not a good place to spread secrets, to start a revolt. And Zebul, the friend of Abimelech, sent word to him and instructed him and told him to counterattack these men. The next day, Abimelech destroys these people in the city and he sprinkles the city with salt. His very own city. Those who were not killed fled to the stronghold of the tower for protection. And here, just a little note of similarity to his father, Gideon. If you remember in the story of Gideon, Gideon says, "Do what I do. Follow after my lead. When I break the jar and blow the horn and show the torch, do what I do." And then the same way here, Abimelech tells his men, "Do what I do. Cut down the bramble, the weeds. Bring them over your shoulder. Follow me. And let's set fire to this tower." What a wicked man. Once sin enters the picture, it's hard to stop. This summer, anybody go to the beach? If you ever go to the beach, especially at the ocean, and you try to play with the tides, build some sand castles, some moats, something to put in place, you try to stop the waves from coming in. But we all know that that's an impossible task. It's like building a sandcastle on that. It's like trying to stop sin. And this wicked man, he can't hold back the waters. You think you control it, but really it controls you. And sometimes we fail to recognize the nature of sin. We fail to recognize, as one person somewhere said, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Children, if you're listening to me now, there's no little sin. I'm not saying that you don't have failures and struggles with sin, but our attitudes towards sin should never change. We should never be indifferent to our sin. We should never be okay with it. Sin will find a way. I read a book in college called "You Can Trust the Communist to Be Communist." It talked about the dialectical nature and thinking of the communists, that they could use any means possible to achieve their particular ends. That's the nature of sin and the evil one. Using any means possible to destroy. So understand the nature of sin. It's trying to destroy you. But here in this last part of the passage, allegiance to Christ, in allegiance to Christ, we find hope in judgment. Find hope in judgment. Let's quickly go through this part of the passage, verses 50 through 57. Then Abimelech went to Thebes and encamped against Thebes and captured it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and all the men and the women of all the leaders of the city fled into it and shut themselves in. And they went up upon the roof tower, and Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it and drew near to the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he quickly called to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest they say of me, 'A woman killed him.'" And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw Abimelech was dead, everyone departed to his home. Thus God returned evil on Abimelech, which he committed against his father, in killing his 70 brothers. And God also made all the evils of the men of Shechem return on their heads. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. Abimelech wasn't content with Shechem. He decided to take the next town. And in his utter contempt for human life, he intended to set fire to this city's stronghold as well. He was trying to repeat these atrocities. But then the Lord used an unlikely candidate, an unnamed woman, to bring judgment upon Abimelech. How many of you ladies have a KitchenAid appliance? These things are heavy. That's what a millstone is. It's a kitchen appliance used for crushing the grain. She takes it, she drops it on the head of Abimelech. And not wanting to be bested by a woman, he gets his armor bearer to kill him. But all along, it was the Lord who was working. He was bringing judgment upon Abimelech and the people of God for turning away from him, for not keeping allegiance to him. See, Abimelech shows us where wickedness leads. It leads to judgment and death. My guess is that none of you here is as guilty as Abimelech for some of these atrocities. But the truth is, all sin deserves judgment. All sin deserves death. But at the cross, the very punishment in which you deserve was placed upon Christ. See, Jesus Christ endured the full justice and wrath of the Father. At Calvary, the covenant was fulfilled. The penalty and the punishment of your sin was paid for in full by Jesus Christ. So, people of God, in judgment, there's great hope that Jesus has paid it all. The chief cornerstone has crushed the head of the serpent, and he has secured your deliverance. Covenant judgment has been satisfied, and in that we have great hope. So, people of God, where is your allegiance? Is it waning? Are you being tempted by sin? Heed the warnings. Repent. Trust in Christ and his payment, his atonement for your sin on the cross. Praise be to God. He has done that for us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have provided for us payment for sin. Lord, help us to see this story, that we would not be like Israel, not be like Abimelech, given over to sin and the destruction and judgment that it brings, but claim Christ and live in that truth and in that new life. It's in his name we pray. Amen.